Warning, the following podcast may prove to be informative and educational, but it is guaranteed to be entertaining. Welcome to Trivial Warfare, the podcast that takes the pub quiz out of the pub and brings it home to you. Now here's your host, Jonathan Oakes.
Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of Trivial Warfare. We are the podcast that takes the pub quiz out of the pub and brings it home to you. My name's Jonathan, and I am here with Chris.
This is Chris.
This is Chris, and I'm here with Carmella.
Hello, boys.
Hello, Carmella.
That is Carmella. Did I say that I'm Chris?
Are you Robot Chris?
Maybe.
Robot Chicken Chris? Hey, wouldn't it be like...
Robot transform.
So who does the best? That was pretty good.
Thank you.
Who does the best chicken imitation?
Of us?
Of the three of us. What do we got? That's pretty good, Carmella. And this is me. So
so you sound like the Cadbury Bunny is what you're saying.
That's what I'm imitating, yes.
Those who are listening to the show for the first time, please don't turn us off. We're much better than this.
Was that a good Cadbury Bunny imitation?
That was a very good Cadbury Bunny impersonation, yes.
So we said we were going to do an intro and talk about the zoo because we've all been to zoo visits lately. Now, Were all of them in Jacksonville?
Yes.
Yes.
Well, for me it was.
Jacksonville legitimately has a pretty great zoo for a town of our size. Part of it is the heat, though. I was about to say, you can't do the whole zoo in a day in Jacksonville.
I did.
But mostly you die when you try because of the heat. Was it a cloudy day?
No, it was, 2 weekends ago. It was the 22nd of May.
Oh, wow. Well, that's funny. You went 2 weekends ago. I went 1 weekend ago. And Chris went this
weekend. Yeah, that's kind of why I mentioned that. I'm like, we've all been to the zoo in the last few weeks.
Yeah.
No, I went for my cousin's son turned 2. And they have the dinosaur exhibit there still, and he loves dinosaurs.
Yeah.
So we did the whole zoo. We did the dinosaur exhibit. We did the 4D theater. We did the butterfly garden. The butterfly garden was my favorite because it was right by the river, and that's a really, really nice area.
That room, because of the way it's set up, is the hottest place in the zoo.
It is really, really warm. And fortunately, I wore significant enough sunscreen because you guys can't see me, but I'm about the color of paper.
She's like, clear.
Like Jonathan's socks are a pretty good indication of what I look like.
No, you're whiter than that.
And cleaner than that.
And I put sunscreen on like right before I left and let it sink in on my drive over there, and I didn't get burned at all. So I was very, very happy because I was very concerned that I would get burned really badly.
You know, I might be a bad parent, but I haven't tried sunscreen on Sebastian yet.
What?
Might be a good idea.
I just kind of let him out there and see how dark he gets.
Bad form, man.
Well,
not cool.
So
it's the UV stuff, not
exactly
necessarily the tanning.
Color. Yeah.
What I'm saying, though, so African Americans don't burn as easily as us of the Caucasian perspective.
Right.
And there's a debate as to whether or not I need to put certain things on him.
It might be a good idea to put it on things like, because places like your nose and your ears are really susceptible to skin cancer. It might be a good idea just to put on certain spots of him.
As talking about skin cancer, do you think this is something that's happening more frequently now? Let me say that differently. Because I know we experience things more frequently now because we're older, right? Do you think that the sun is impacting our bodies differently, or is it that we spend so much time inside that when we go outside, we're more susceptible to it?
I think it's because we now know more knowledge about it than we did at one point in time. I'm sure people were dying from skin cancer years and years before it was even diagnosed as like a skin cancer. I mean, as you guys know, I had a very dear friend of mine pass away last week.
Right.
And one of the telltale signs was she's had melanoma for 12 years. She fought skin cancer for 12 years before cancer overcame her. Mm-hmm. So this is a legit thing for me. I can't preach enough about sunscreen because it's vitally important. I mean, I know there's a lot of people saying that some of it's toxic and stuff like that, but you can do natural sunscreens, and there are ones that are less toxic than others that need to be used. I'm just going to stop talking right now.
Do you think that it's the ozone situation, though? Do you think that it is something that we have done that has created a situation where we're less protected? Because I'm sure we haven't helped. Using individual examples, when I grew up without my shirt on. Mm. If you look at my eighth grade picture, I am as as copper tone as copper tone gets, because I was always out in the sun and I never wore any sunscreen of any sort at all. And I've never had any skin problems at all,
mm-hmm.
right? And so it makes me wonder if skin problems are more prevalent today or if we're just more aware of them.
It might be that we're more aware of them. I mean, I'm about 10, 11 years younger than you. But, you know, I've had first-degree burns from sunburns and...
First-degree?
First-degree burns on my skin from sunburns. I have to wear sunscreen.
So third-degree is the worst, but first-degree is painful.
I've had first-degree sunburns. My mom actually does tan, but she's had sun poisoning. And when she went to Bermuda, like, 25 years ago.
Really?
Yeah.
Now, is she got the Irish skin the way that you do?
Well, she's Scottish and Italian, but she does lean a little bit more towards the Scottish side as far as her complexion.
Do you have Scottish skin more than Irish skin, you think?
I don't think I'm really Irish. I'm mostly Scottish and Italian.
I'm not saying that you are, but you have the skin that I relate to an Irish
yes,
person.
Yes, I'm very, very pale. And I have red hair, so that doesn't help. but I blame my dad for that.
Thanks, Dad.
So, and then, unfortunately, last year, I had a former coworker who was a year younger than me. She passed away after fighting melanoma.
Wow.
You know, and she fought that for a very long time. So I think we are more aware of it, but I think maybe we've done some things in the atmosphere that probably didn't help, but I think it's always been like that. You know, I mean, I'm almost 30 years old and I really do need to wear sunscreen like all the time.
Yeah. I think it's a mixture of the two, but you know what? So be it. Whatever the answer is, it's very important. Carice was 37 when she died. I mean, that's way too early. Your coworker was what, 27, 28?
She was 26.
26. Mm-hmm. And Carice was 37. I mean, that's barely living a life right there, if that. It's just whatever it is, what do you have to do? Wear sunscreen. Research it before you put it on your body, but wear it. So, didn't mean to get all serious.
Yeah, I know
on
that was, and that was pretty recent. I wasn't thinking about that going into the conversation.
Yeah,
but for all I know that we have multiple listeners who were impacted by that. So, for all of you guys, obviously, our thoughts and prayers are with the family there. Okay,
appreciate that.
Well,
we were talking about warming things up.
We were. I didn't mean to bring us down, but no. Let's get us back up. Chris, why don't you warm us up?
Absolutely. Also, I think it's important enough, or it was a good discussion to have. And feel free to continue the discussion on the Facebook group site as well. Anyway, so because it was 99 degrees outside yesterday while I was at the zoo with my sunscreen
it was
on,
insane.
Melting, here's your warming up, Chris, question of the episode. I want you to tell me what the top 10 best-selling albums of the 1980s were.
Top 10?
Top 10 best-selling.
Can I go first?
And as in million-dollar copies. No, I'm not letting you go first.
Can I go first, please?
Let him go first.
Please!
All right.
How excited he is.
Please!
Ladies first.
No, okay, Jonathan first.
Jonathan, what's your first answer?
It's coming. Thriller night.
Number one with the bullet, 29 million copies.
I thought it was way more than 29 million. We've had arguments about those stats before.
Yeah, I know.
What's our source?
It's from rateyourmusic.com, and their source is...
Actually, that's good enough.
Okay.
Our source for these numbers are rateyourmusic.com.
Okay.
Okay, and was it albums that they sold in the 80s? So, like, the thrillers that have been bought after that don't count towards this?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, that helps.
Yeah.
My turn?
Your turn. Nope.
I'm going to say Bad.
Not on the list.
Oh, I thought that would have sold a lot in the 80s, because it only came out in, like, what, 79?
No, Bad
came out in 86.
Oh, really?
86,
I thought it was before Thriller.
I thought definitely that was going to be in there. Mm. I'm going to go with Like a Virgin.
Like a Virgin? Not on the list.
Maybe that wasn't the name of the album.
I don't know what the name of it. I don't think it was the name of the album. Did you mention it?
I have
to look at that. So.
I think the name of the album was True Blue. Is it True Blue?
True Blue was not on the list, no. So... But Carmela, what's your next?
That was my answer. Was True Blue.
Okay. I got you. All right, Jonathan.
There has to be a Madonna album on here. Chris says there's not a Madonna album on here.
Nope.
Then this list is crap. Then.
I don't know. It's pretty solid.
It's pretty solid.
Yeah, I'm not. Let me put it to you this way: if I saw one or two things on here that I would have thrown the question out.
No, you wouldn't have.
Wow. Cranky Carmella back in the his house.
How about Slippery When Wet?
Number 10 with 12.9 million copies.
So here's the thing, guys. I know a lot of songs from the 80s. I don't know a lot of album names from the 80s.
I have forgotten many more album names than I know.
You're a child of iTunes, aren't you?
No, I know a lot of songs. Like, I would know the stuff that was on the radio, but they would never tell us what album it came off of.
Was it a Mexican radio? A radio?
Okay.
I don't even understand that reference.
I'm on the Mexican, a radio.
Oh, what was that? What band is that? That's Frank Black?
No, it wasn't Frank Black of the Pixies fame.
I think that's the song you just did.
Well, Mexican Radio is the song, but it wasn't Frank Black, though.
Okay.
Anyway, so.
So I'm trying to think. And I'm also not that young, where everything is iTunes.
So what year were you born in again?
I was born at the end of 87.
There you go.
Let's see here.
I love that.
You gotta be kidding me. Madonna's not on there.
Yeah. I mean, come on. I'm trying to think like the name of a Prince album, and I can't. Crap.
Thanks for opening that up for me.
You're welcome. Yeah, I definitely want to move the game along. Uh-huh. I have no idea. Imagine.
I'm sorry, Imagine's not on the list.
Purple Rain.
Purple Rain, number 7 on the list.
Why couldn't I think of Purple Rain?
No idea.
All right, so back to Carmella.
Why couldn't I think of Purple Rain? It's like the most obvious thing in the whole world.
That was a very nice assist you gave Jonathan.
Seriously.
You're welcome, Jonathan. I do what I can.
Thanks, John Stockton.
You don't know what that means.
You're my John Stockton.
That sounds
weird. You don't know what that means?
I don't know who John Stockton is. What?
He's the career assist leader in the NBA.
And why do you think I know that?
Because it's fantastic. Because
he's the best ever at a certain thing called assists, which is what you did to me.
All right. So back to Carmella's Folly.
Completely blanking on album names. Less than zero.
Less than zero, not on the list.
Dirty Dancing soundtrack.
Surprisingly, not on the list.
Are any soundtracks on the list?
No, they are not.
It's possible that they've been excluded.
That's a possibility as well, even though they didn't say that in the write-up for it, but that's a possibility.
I would have thought that either that one or the Top Gun soundtrack would have been on there.
Yeah.
Those were huge.
Top Gun soundtrack, awesome.
I don't know any other ones. I don't have any other guesses.
No other guesses?
No more guesses? No. All right, Jonathan.
Maybe we can work together, because okay. I'm struggling.
There you go. That's a great idea.
What is Wham's big album name? It's like 3 a.m. or something like that?
I can't remember.
They had Wake Me Up Before You Go-Go.
Well, I remember the songs from it, but I can't... Like I said, I remember hearing all this stuff on the radio, but they would never tell you the names of the albums.
Okay.
My mom would be able to help out really
okay,
well with
so
this.
Okay, so Chris, is there a Wham album on the list?
There is no Wham albums on the list.
Again, this list is crap.
How about the Bangles? Manic Monday. Is Manic Monday on the list?
I don't believe that was the album name, but the Bangles are not on the list either. Wow. You guys are really missing some big people, though. I'm kind of surprised.
How about Sussudio? No, what's it called? Face Value by Phil Collins.
You're very, very close. There is a Phil Collins album on here.
Invisible Touch?
The one that has... what's the song? What's the... In the Air Tonight.
That was Face Value.
I thought that was No Jacket Required.
No Jacket Required.
13.8 million.
Is there a
copies.
Rolling Stones album on there?
No.
Oh, good Lord. No, they were long gone by then.
They weren't. They're still around.
Whatever.
I wouldn't be shocked if Dark Side of the Moon was still on, like people were bought, because it's one of the top selling of all time.
Yeah.
Oddly enough, not my favorite Pink Floyd album, though.
There's lots to choose from.
It's like my second favorite Pink Floyd album.
The Wall?
No, Momentary Lapse of Reason.
Sure.
Actually, Rolling Stones had the number 100 on their Tattoo You on the list, but I'm asking for the top 10.
What's the highest ranking Madonna one?
Crap. Hold up.
Material Girl.
Yeah, I don't think that's the name of the album.
Problem is I got to scroll.
I think that's on True Blue as well.
I got to scroll all the way to the bottom to get
La Isla.
Oh, I'm sorry. Dirty Dancing was number 12 on the list with 12.5 million. Bad was 13 with 11.9.
So we were close.
Yeah, we just weren't naming.
We're
the
not
top
thinking
ones.
About 80. Okay, so let's think.
Like a Virgin was number 17 on the list with 10.9 million copies.
Okay. What about the Flock of Seagulls, guys? You think that's on the list?
That was a one-hit wonder.
Yeah, but that could have sold a lot of albums.
Yeah, it could have. And Dexy's Midnight Runners, they're the one who did Come on, Eileen. They were really big over in the UK.
Yeah, that's not going to be on there. Who was big in the 80s? Michael Jackson, Madonna, Phil Collins.
Poison?
No.
Hmm.
This was 80s was before the era of rock and roll being accepted as mainstream. Like even Welcome to the Jungle.
I was just thinking, even Appetite
for Destruction won't be on this list.
Hmm.
And neither will the Metallica albums.
Oh, She's So Unusual?
Is that Cyndi Lauper?
Cyndi Lauper.
Not on the list.
Mm. All right, Chris, I don't think we're getting anything on this list.
All right, wow. Because your whole thought process, completely wrong, Jonathan. Number two on the list, AC/DC Back in Black, 19.1 million copies.
I don't believe that for a second.
I can.
No.
That's one of the best-selling albums of all time, dude. That is rankly up there. It came out in 1980. Bruce Springsteen's Born in the USA, 15.9 million.
Should have thought about Bruce Springsteen.
Guns N' Roses, Appetite for Destruction, 1987, 15.6 million copies.
Yeah, I mean, hair bands are what I associate with the 80s.
Whitney Houston's self-titled, 14.2 million. Then you had Phil Collins, then you had Prince. Number eight, Bruce Springsteen and E Street Band Live, 1975 to 1985, 13.1 million. And then number nine, which was the last one that was not got, was Dire Straits' Brothers in Arms, 12.9 million copies.
I believe I'm stunned.
I won that episode of Warm It Up, Chris.
I'm stunned to hear that AC/DC Back in Black sold more copies than Like a Virgin in the 80s.
Mm.
I have a hard time believing that, but
okay. Well, it came out in 1980. It had the entire decade to sell. Still.
That's a very good point.
Yeah, but Appetite for Destruction didn't.
Mm.
Well, that album was just a beast
people,
of its own.
People
right
like
now.
Slash,
man. Okay,
top
well,
that.
Duff, Duff bad.
That didn't bode well for my performance in this game. But
that's all right. Carmella's asking the questions. It doesn't bode well for my performance in this game either.
It's like I'm some sort of villain to you two.
No, to Chris,
just
you
to,
are.
Yes, just to me. Jonathan likes your questions.
That's
remember?
Right.
Your questions of mythology and space and soccer and crap.
So why don't we get on with it? Hey, guys. This is Jonathan breaking in from the future. Well, the past. It's going to be the past for you. It's the future. No, it's the present. Anyway, I always get confused by that. But I got a big announcement, and so I'm recording this the night before the show's going out to let you know about it. We have released t-shirts for a limited time, about 3 weeks. We are going to have t-shirts available for you guys to check out. Now, it's guys' t-shirts. It's girls' t-shirts. There's a hoodie. There's a sweatshirt. There's a few different styles to choose from for guys and girls. If you're interested in rocking a Trivial Warfare t-shirt or sweater or hoodie, head over to teespring.com/warhead. That's teespring, T-E-E, spring.com/warhead. And I'm going to say this right now. If you have a team full of people wearing Trivial Warfare t-shirts or hoodies or whatever, and you win a game and take a picture holding up the trophy with all those awesome shirts on, you are going on the front page of TrivialWarfare.com and you will be our logo for at least a week, maybe more. I want to do a whole page of people holding up gift certificates and trophies wearing these awesome shirts. So get in on the action by going to teespring.com/warhead. All right, guys, on with the show. Carmella, take it away.
All right, first category is going to be science.
Science!
Science.
Of course.
What satellite?
What planet has ice at its poles, even with an average surface temperature of 170 degrees centigrade?
I'm out!
Wait, say that again?
What planet has ice at its poles, even with an average surface temperature of 170 degrees centigrade?
I'm locked in.
Okay, so ice, even though it's still pretty hot up there, I'm going to have to say Mercury, final answer.
All right.
I believe the hottest planet on the surface temperature due to the greenhouse effect is Venus. Mm. So I said Venus.
It has craters very, very deep at its pole, so they actually don't get any direct sunlight. It is Mercury.
Nice.
Whoa.
Mercury also has no atmosphere, so it's not spreading the temperature all the way around the planet.
And it's the closest to the sun.
Yep.
Wow. Look at you, Chris.
I was just...
But that's how you can back your way into it. You know it's not Earth, and it's got to have ice at its pole, so it's four terrestrial planets, so you already knock out one. Could be Mars, but Mars is colder.
They haven't discovered water. They just discovered the history of water on Mars.
Yeah. And then Venus has got an atmosphere, so it's temperature all the way around, and then that leaves Mercury.
Yeah. And you know, Jonathan, a broken clock is always correct twice in a day. So just think about it that way.
Are you saying you have a face that could stop a clock?
My mom said that, yes.
My dad
like this.
My mother said that to me once. Once.
All right, your next category is food and drink. What are the two primary ingredients of a hollandaise sauce?
Holland
and days. One of the two ingredients?
What are the primary two ingredients?
Oh, what are the two? Okay, I was hoping it was just one of them. I can maybe have gotten one of them. Looked like Jonathan had an answer, but now he's like paused.
No, I never had the whole answer. I just wrote down one thing that could be a part of it. I've written down my wrong answer. I leave it to you.
Yeah, I was going to say, I was about to say I wrote down my wrong answer also. Hollandaise sauce, I believe it's on Eggs Benedict and then some other, what other
Hollandaise.
Stuff?
Hollandaise!
Very nice.
Celebrate!
My wrong answer is I wrote down cream and Dijon mustard.
Okay.
You know, I thought about mustard. But I got the whole eggs thing mixed up because I said eggs and water.
Well, there might be water in it.
So the two primary ingredients of a hollandaise sauce. Now, it's a French method. So anything that's French has got a ton of butter in it.
Butter.
Butter is one. Egg yolk is the other.
Oh.
All right.
Butter. If I just said butter and eggs, I would have gotten it. What, are you giving that to me?
I would have given it to you.
Darn. I should have thought of butter. I thought of salt.
They do put salt in it, but that's not a primary ingredient.
I've never, ever in my life tasted hollandaise sauce.
Really?
Really? I'm right there with you. I haven't either. Just haven't had the urge. It's not that I don't want to try it. Just
I've never ordered Eggs Benedict.
Yeah. I don't want to eat eggs that might betray me.
Mm.
True story.
True story.
All right. Your last category in the round is in movies.
Movies.
Oh, boy.
What is the name of the AI system in 2001, A Space Odyssey?
3, 2, 1.
Yes.
Okay.
Wait. How specific do we need to be?
What's its name?
Okay.
So hold on. I'm being serious because there's letters. Do you want its first name or do you want the whole designation?
What is it commonly called in the story?
Okay. Thank
yeah,
you.
Yeah. Now 3, 2, 1.
Yes.
Okay. Well, Carmella, count us down.
3, 2, 1.
Hal.
It is Hal.
All right.
It's actually Hal 9000.
Was it 9 or 2000?
Why I didn't want to say.
Yeah. I think it's 9000.
Okay.
And,
I knew it was a number, but I wasn't really trying
to... previous episode, that was one of the I made somebody name it specifically. With the movie people.
Oh.
Okay.
So they had to say the end of it.
Arthur C. Clarke actually denied this, but it is one letter off from IBM. So I thought that was interesting.
That is funny. After the first round, I'm up just slightly, 20 to 10.
All right. Round two, first category is advertising.
Advertising.
What European car company once used the slogan, the ultimate driving machine?
I'm locked in.
Funny, because I was hoping she'd say Farfenugan.
Farfenugan?
I had that down cold. Ultimate driving machine, I think it's one of two. It's Mercedes or it's BMW. And I'm waffling between the two of them. I'm really struggling.
Waffles.
Yeah.
You guys are stealing my material. Jeez.
Put some hollandaise on that. Amazing.
Delish.
May I continue, please?
No.
We never stopped you.
I think whichever one I choose, it's going to be the other one, and that just frustrates me tremendously. Yeah. Jonathan's going, your lips to God's ears.
That's right.
I'm going to say BMW is final answer.
All right, Jonathan?
I said BMW.
Bavarian Motorworks, BMW.
Nice. I'll take it.
All right. Next category is history.
Hit the way.
What was the name of the building in New York City in front of which John Lennon was killed?
Oh, wow. I've been there. That sucks.
Oh, have you really?
Yeah.
Well, not me.
Back in 2005, youth group kids, we went over into it. It's not going to help me out at all.
I'm assuming it wasn't a McDonald's?
No.
Not like a like a ATM?
Wasn't a Burger King bathroom?
Exactly. I was trying to use the bathroom, but some bloke with a big nose was getting busy in there.
That's good. I like that. I'm going to write down my wrong answer, Jonathan, and I'll let you talk.
Man, I'm just trying to think of names of buildings because I don't have any idea.
Okay, I'm locked in on my wrong answer.
I'll say the Empire State Building.
It was a hotel, and it was right outside of it. And there's a place called the Savoy Theater, but for some reason Savoy was in my head, so that's what I wrote down, was the Savoy.
Well, it's where he lived, and he was almost home at the time. It's the Dakota Building.
Dakota, okay.
I never heard of that. So I don't feel bad at all for not knowing it.
Okay.
I mean, people still regularly put flowers out there. There's flowers.
Really?
Oh, yeah. There's when we were there, there was flowers there. And then also, it's very near Central Park.
Holidays!
Sorry. Wow.
Stuck in there.
We apologize for Jonathan Oakes' behavior here.
All right. Your last category in the round is technology.
Okay.
On a standard QWERTY keyboard, what letter is between X and V?
I assume you don't want to let me look at my computer.
You cannot look at your computer.
Wow. That sucks because it's like right there.
Between what?
Between X and V.
Wow, this is so hard. I want my fingers to be able to tell me my answer.
My fingers are telling me my answer.
All right. I believe it's on the... crap. It's not in the middle. It's the top. The X and the... Say it again, please.
What letter is between the X and the V?
Oh, no, it can't be that easy. Okay, the only reason I think I know this answer is because of where the V's at and what's next to the V. Because anytime you work in Microsoft Excel, when I copy and paste stuff, I use Control C for copy and Control V for paste, and they're right next to each other. So my answer is C.
Okay.
That is exactly how I got my answer. Control C is your middle finger, Control V is your pointer finger, and if you go one further, you get to B. So I said C.
So the way I remembered it is because it's the letter that my name starts with, and I have to write my name all the time.
How the heck did I not think of that?
It is.
Chris has the same letter.
It's the letter C.
Oh my gosh, that's just too funny.
Chris, actually, you type that letter more than any other.
More than likely. Wow.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Instead, I was equating it to Excel. That's just too funny.
Well, that's also a good way to do it, because C and V is right there.
All right. So after two rounds, slightly ahead, 40 to 30.
All right. First category in the round is sports.
Sport.
What soccer question do you have for us now?
What Olympic motto?
Apparently
what does the Olympic
bird shooting?
What does the Olympic motto "Sidious Altius Fortius" mean?
Darth Sidious,
Dart Fortius.
Do you want me to spell the things for you?
Please.
So Sidious is C I T I U S. Altius is A L T I U S, and Fortius is F O R T I U S.
I have logic behind it. It's likely not to be right, but I'm locked in.
Okay.
I'm really at a loss. I mean, it's all Latin to me.
the crowd in the background, they didn't laugh either. Oh, look, I got to laugh. That was more than you got.
That was one of her nervous laughs. That doesn't count.
Oh, not funny either.
I just got pouty face.
I didn't say that. That's why she's not. That's why she's happy you don't know the answer to this question.
I've got a feeling it's like, I'm not sure what the S or the Sidious is, but it's like something athletes victorious. Yeah, I'm tapping out. I don't know the answer.
Okay.
So, I was in a different direction. Altius sounds like it's related to altitude, which could mean higher. Fortius sounds like it could mean farther. And so I was thinking if it's an Olympic slogan, it could mean like something higher, farther.
Okay.
And so what word could go with that? I couldn't get anything out of the CIT prefix on the first one, but I thought faster might make sense. So I said faster, higher, farther.
Oh, Jonathan, you're so close. Fortius means stronger.
Faster, higher, stronger?
Yeah. I'm so sorry.
I worked my way into it, Jonathan, and still got it wrong.
So well done, though, man. And now that you say Fortius that way, that makes sense for fortify. Yeah, so, wow. But
that made me so sad.
I want to give you 6 points. I really do. I'm not going to, but I really want to give you 6 points.
What's funny is I got the hard or the easier one wrong. The hardest one would have been the faster.
Yeah, that was the one I had the hardest time. I had help writing these questions this time around.
Yeah. Oh, that's cool.
So I didn't have to do it by myself.
Would you like to give anybody credit for helping you write these?
Yes. Thank you very much, Waco, for helping me write these questions today. Because he's the one who came up with this. And I was like, well, Fortius is strong. Altius... probably higher, and I couldn't get Sidious. I got the last two, but I couldn't get the first one. And then I was like, "Oh, he's gonna get it!" No, he's not.
All right,
it's a good try.
No, it was a good question too. Especially as somebody, I love Olympics questions, and I'm sad that I didn't know that at all.
That was another piece of it. I was guessing because it was an Olympic motto.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was going to be something like encouraging, that in a sense.
Yeah. Absolutely, it makes perfect. Like I said, I almost want to give you 6 points, and then I'm good with it. Actually, I also want to win.
All right, your next category is literature.
Literature.
Winston
tour.
Smith is the name of the main character in what dystopian novel?
Crap.
There's so freaking many of these now. Winston Smith. Are you sure it's not Winston Zeddemore?
Nice. I don't think that was a book in the first place.
It's not dystopian either, but hey.
Well, it just depends on how you look at it.
It's not dystopian.
All right.
Do you know who Winston Zeddemore is?
Is it somebody I'm supposed to know?
Ghostbusters.
Oh, yeah.
He's the Winston.
Played by the fantastic Ernie Hudson.
Ernie Hudson.
I always knew him as Winston. So.
Winston Smith, huh?
Yeah, Winston Smith.
All right, I'm writing in an answer.
You said he's the main character?
Main character in this dystopian novel.
Okay, I'm locked in, Jonathan. I'm not confident in it at all, but I want to go with it.
Okay, so there's a couple of clues in the question.
Really? Talk about that, because I didn't hear any.
Well, dystopian obviously is a clue.
Okay.
The less obvious clue is the fact that it was a novel and not a series of novels. So
it's an interesting point.
Whereas I might go towards any number of groups of novels, like The Hunger Games or the Divergent series, because it's a novel and not novels, I wouldn't think it's going to be that. So that leads me down the path to the one-shots, and that it takes me somewhere. I don't know if it's right, but I'm going to say Fahrenheit 451.
Yeah.
Okay.
That, and I'll be honest, that was almost my answer right there. But I went with The Last Babylon.
So if I were to say Orwellian, what would you say?
1984?
It's 1984.
Crap. Ugh. All right, Carmella's winning this round so far, just to let you know.
Your last category in the half is in music.
Music!
What is the name for three or more notes sounded together?
I do a 3-2-1?
I think I have it, but I'm not...
Okay.
Write it down.
I'm locked in.
Okay, I want to... my answer is harmony.
Okay. I said... Is that your final answer?
Yeah, I'm not comfortable with it, though.
I said a chord.
It's a chord.
Okay. Crap. As much as I enjoy listening to music, I don't know the science of music very well at all. All right, going into halftime... we're all tied up at 40-40, and I think Carmella has like 60 points right now.
Carmella's revenge.
It really is, yeah. Instead of Montezuma's revenge, it's Carmella's revenge.
It's the revenge of the Kraken. Release the Kraken.
I don't know what sound that was, but it came out.
Yeah, Revenge of the Cadbury Bunny.
All right, for your halftime question, your category is in currency.
Oh, okay. Goody.
Something
money,
we don't
money,
have.
Money, 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 money.
Name the main unit of currency for these countries.
All right, what do we got?
India, Venezuela, Australia, and Russia.
Yuck.
Amen to that, man. This sucks.
I don't think it sucks. It's just hard.
Okay, sucks for me.
All right, I'm locked in.
Really? So fast.
Okay. Got what I got.
So, I'm familiar with Russia's, but it's just the question is are they still using that methodology of, of payment?
I wondered that, too.
Yeah, I mean, and also, am I even thinking of the right word?
I wondered that, too.
Yeah. So, India, I want to say it's like the, India is the drachma. Venezuela, I have no idea, so I'm just saying the peso. Australia, I think, is the dollar. I think it's like the Australian dollar. So that's what I wrote there. And Russia, it's the rupee.
All right, those are your answers?
Rupee. Just give me my zero. Yes.
Okay.
Wait, which one?
Are you going with rupee?
No, I'm going with rupee.
Rupee with a rupee. P?
Honest to God, I never thought about the spelling. And that's the only reason why I'm pausing for a second is because it's rupee.
Well, that's why I'm asking. Are you saying Roop?
No,
a P?
It's not Ruby. It's
okay.
So, P, yes, with a P.
Okay.
So, I said rupees for India.
Okay.
I said peso for Venezuela. I said dollar for Australia. And I said rubles in Russia.
Okay.
All right. So, for India, it is the rupee.
Nice.
So, you had the right answer, just in the wrong spot.
Okay.
For Venezuela, it is the bolivar.
Oh, the bolivar.
Australia is dollar, and Russia is ruble.
Yeah.
Okay.
I always found the spelling of ruble very funny because it kind of
R-U-B-L-E?
Like, yeah, because it kind of looks like rubble. Then it just kind of makes me think about their economy, and I'm like, oh, that's sad.
Oh, wow.
Now, this is in the 90s when their economy kind of sucked, but I'm just like, oh, that's sad.
So, going after the midpoint, Jonathan, you took the lead, 55-45. Getting three out of the four right. Good job.
Are rupees also...
They're from Zelda.
Zelda?
Yeah, that's how I remember them.
It's funny that you knew where I was going with that.
Of course I did.
All right, it's halftime. That means it's time to talk about Loot Crate. Chris, you just got the second... ever Firefly crate in the mail. You get that once every 2 months?
Yeah, it's every 2 months. And so the next one, this one came in June, so the next one will be in August for me.
Okay.
And Jonathan, as we talked about beforehand, the first one was a little, I was not as pleased with it. But
Firefly specifically.
Firefly, yes. Firefly cargo crate. I was not as pleased with the very first one that came out. But because I knew the quality that Loot Crate was, I knew that they would make it up to me. And boy, did they in spades. I mean, this box was loaded. As a matter of fact, if you go out to our Facebook group site, you'll actually see a video that that Jonathan recorded, my giddiness as I opened it up. And had an amazing shirt in it, had a couple fantastic figs that were in there, had a flask that I need to find somebody to give the flask to, which is fantastic. Oh, there's Carmella raising her hand already.
Did you already eat the figs?
Ba-dum-bum. No, figurines.
Oh, figurines.
So like the Kaylee one that you gave to me?
Yes, so, but this one was of Jane.
Yeah, and I think Jane the next Cobb. One will be of Zoe.
Yes, yeah. And it's just, but it's fantastic. I mean, and had a Jane Cobb coin that
what
came
you,
with
what
it.
What do you hate about Jane, about Zoe?
I don't hate anything about Zoe.
You gave it to Carmella.
No, he gave me the Kaylee one.
Yes, I gave her the Kaylee one. Well, the Kaylee one was just, Kaylee's fine. I like her as a character, but... I mean, Jane has a really big gun. I mean, it's an awesome figure.
Was it a BFG?
Yes.
It was a BFG.
Yeah. Name's Farrah.
Farrah. Gotta love her. Yes. Yeah, that gun's so big, it has her own name.
It's my very favorite gun.
Exactly right. But to go back to it, they did a great job with it. They also heard that people were very frustrated that there was not a t-shirt in it, and they made available a wonderful Dead Fish t-shirt, which was an homage to a shirt that Jane wears on the show.
Yeah.
They heard the critics, and they took care of it. And that's one of the best parts about Loot Crate, is they listen to their people. They really want to give the best product available out there. And that's one of the reasons why I'm a Loot Crate subscriber. I love it, and I'm just very grateful to them, and they did a great job. And I'm really, really looking forward to the very next one that comes out in August.
That's really cool. So if you're interested in signing up for that next Firefly box coming out, you can go to lootcrate.com/TWA, and it's one of the boxes that you'll see as an option across the bottom. You can also sign up for any normal Loot Crate there. They have the Loot Crate option. They have the Loot Crate DX. They also have the Level Up stuff, which I know, Carmella, you got a Level Up box recently.
Yeah, I did a video and I put it up on the Facebook page. I got Level Up for her, and I got a cool Avengers bracelet and a Mario scarf out of it. So I'm really excited about the June one because it's Dystopia, yes, which means it has Fallout stuff and BioShock stuff.
Oh, that's your jam?
And I'm just like, please, can I have it now, please? Please, 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 please.
Christmas can't come fast enough for you.
I really like the Level Up stuff because you get your choice in the type of stuff that you want to get, and it's the clothes and the jewelry and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
That's really cool. All right, so remember, lootcrate.com/TWA if you want to sign up for any of the boxes that we talked about today.
And the coupon code TWA for 15% off.
Boom.
All right, so round four, first category is in movies.
Okay.
In the movie Snow White and the Seven Dwarves, how many dwarves have a name that ends in the letter Y?
I'm locked in.
All right.
Okay. Dopey, Happy, Sleepy, Doc are, the four that I got so far. And it's, oh my gosh, it's so funny. We've had so, there's, and
the we've, time we've done played, this before.
Well, not this question.
Not on the show, but we've had a conversation about trying to name all of them.
Yeah. I mean, before. It's just, it's amazing how many are like that. And
it's like creepy. Creepy the dwarf.
Mm-hmm. Pedophile.
Slutty. I mean, just Slutty the dwarf.
You guys are terrible.
Headley.
Elwyn Burr.
Headley the dwarf. Yes. He was also a smurf.
Sneezy.
Sleazy.
I know you're trying not to help, but come on, man. You're better than that.
I'm not really.
You'd think we'd learn.
You should have seen the size of my competitive gene when they found it. Nice.
Whoa, 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 friend. I don't want to see the size of anything on you, all right, mister? Okay, I got it. My answer is 6 out of 7 because I think it's all of them except for Doc, and Doc's the weird one.
Okay.
Final answer.
So you said 6.
I had 7 minus 2. I said 5. It's Bashful and Doc.
Happy, Dopey, Sneezy, Grumpy, and Sleepy. 5.
Okay, Bashful.
Bashful's the one everybody forgets.
Bashy. Believe it or not, Sleepy was the one I couldn't think of yesterday when I was writing the question.
I can't name all 5 if you ask me to do it like that. I always struggle. But if you ask it the way you asked it, I can take away the ones I know.
Yeah.
I'm on a come up now. I'm on a charge.
Charge!
Charge!
Womp, womp,
womp. Womp, 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 womp.
I'm just letting you guys sit back and make fools out of yourselves. I'm okay with this.
All right, your next category is literature.
Tour.
What do the letters BFG mean in the title of the Roald Dahl book?
It's not the same as it is in the video games, is it?
I asked the question. I just wanted you to give me the answer.
I'm locked in.
What Roald Dahl book? There's a book named BFG?
Yes. The BFG.
The BFG.
Are you serious?
Oh, yeah.
I'm locked in, by the way.
It's my favorite Roald Dahl book.
Ooh, I never heard of it. The only BFG I've heard of is from like Quake 2, Quake 3, Doom 2. Wow, I have no idea, so I'm just going to go with the... Oh, you locked in?
Yeah, I'm locked in.
In video games, it's a big gun.
Yeah, that's what's going to be like. You're going to say big gun, aren't you?
So, I guess my answer is a big gun.
Okay. The BFG actually is going to, in a couple weeks, be a Steven Spielberg movie that comes out. The reason it's notable is because it's the first time that Spielberg's actually worked with Disney on a project, and it stands for the Big Friendly Giant.
It is the Big Friendly Giant.
Oh, wow.
Also, yeah. First time I've ever heard Jonathan say the word f***.
Is it? What? Really?
Oh, my yes. Gosh.
You don't ever say in hell and...
Oh,
but
you obviously don't hang around the dude enough. Dang.
No, I don't say it often.
Yeah. All the dang time.
That's not true.
So, all but yeah.
Sebastian, you'll be listening
true.
This years from now. Your dad said it all the
maybe
time.
Maybe like 10 times a year.
All the time, son. All the time.
That's way less than that. How many times I say it?
I don't mind swearing for the purpose that it's intended for,
but
I don't like it as a filler word.
Yeah. I agree.
No, I get that.
Have it have a meaning. Like Quentin Tarantino movies, I think do it. That's the one part I don't like about his movies.
Me too.
I think he just throws it in there to have it in there, and you don't need it.
That's the hardest part about Good Will Hunting.
Absolutely.
They way overdid it.
Yeah.
It's like, we get it. You're from Boston.
I have a tendency to swear like a sailor, so.
Well, you used to be a sailor.
I used to talk like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, when I was younger.
Yeah, but you're smarter now, and you use real people.
So you're saying that I'm not smart?
I didn't say that.
I think you're very smart, and that's why I don't hear you swear all that much anymore. The older you get, the more you realize that you don't need those words. Period.
It's interesting. I wonder how many people we just alienated.
A lot.
It's a good discussion.
Your last category in the round is technology.
Oh, crap.
Is it a BFG?
Yes, tell me what a BFG is. How many bytes are in a kilobyte?
You want specifically?
Yes.
All right, I've written down my number.
Okay, because kilobyte, I mean, automatically think 1,000. And I know that's not it. I think it's like, my final answer is 1,064. I think that's the answer, so.
Okay.
I said 1,008.
All right, well, bytes are based off of base 2, because, you know, you have on and off. So it's 2 to the 10th power, or 1,024.
Oh, Chris, we split the difference.
We really did. We really did.
I see the number now. Stupid 8. God, where did 8 come from?
All right, so after 4 rounds, Jonathan, it's still the same lead, just with a little more points. 65 to 50. You're up by 15.
I made this a really hard game, didn't I?
You've had that tendency the last 3 or 4 shows.
It's been a throwdown for sure.
The last time you hosted, we scored like 90 and 85.
Yeah.
I'm not going to apologize for that.
No. Not necessarily saying you should.
Especially not when Russ is like, but oh, that was easy. I scored 187 points.
You have been getting harder over time, for sure.
All right. Round 5, first category is geography.
All right.
The French colony of Saint-Domingue is now what Caribbean country?
What?
The French colony, Saint-Domingue, is now what Caribbean country? So it used to be called Saint-Domingue. What is it called now?
I'm locked in.
Yeah, I've got an answer, too, that I'm not a fan of.
I'm pretty sure I'm wrong.
Okay. I said St. Martin.
I said Santo Domingo, because it sounded like Saint-Domingue.
I was going more for the French part of it.
Fun fact, Santo Domingo is the capital of the other country that this country shares an island with.
Oh, it's...
So Dominican Republic has the capital of Santo Domingo, and the colony that used to be Saint-Domingue is now Haiti.
Wow.
The island's Hispaniola.
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking about that, and I couldn't place it, but the Saint-Domingue part led me to the Santo Domingo, obviously.
So you were in the right area.
Yeah.
All right, again, Carmella scores 10 more points. Right now in the second half, she's whipping our butts.
Category is sports.
Sports. What soccer question do you have for us now?
What is the minimum number of games required to win a set in tennis?
A set?
Mm-hmm. I do ask other sports questions.
Men's or women's?
It doesn't matter. It's the same thing in both sets.
Okay. I'm locked in.
You sure it's not different for men's and women's? You're locked in?
Yeah.
The reason I'm asking that is that, so with the match is the overarching thing, and women have to win 3, men have to win 5. Or no, best out of 3 versus best out of 5. The set is the numbers that make up. Read the question again. I'm sorry.
What is the minimum number of
games
required to win a set in tennis? So how many games have to be played in a set in order to win?
And so a game is like when you get past 45 and you get a serve and you win, that's a game. And those games load up into sets. That's 5.
That's your answer? 5?
Yep. 5.
Okay. The answer, I believe, is 6.
The answer is 6. You have to win by 2.
Yeah. 6 love is the minimum number, is the minimum score.
I don't understand.
You have to play 6 games in a set.
What's a game?
A game is, you know, 15 love, you know, 40
that's
love.
That's a point.
Yeah, so that's a to but get
one of those is a game.
That one of those is a game.
Yeah. Right. If you win 5-0, you have won by 2.
No.
No.
You have to get to 6, but you have to win by 2. So in other words, if you're up 5-4, you have to win 6-4, or if it's 5-5, you have to play till 7.
I get that, but what if you're up 5-0?
You still have to play the 6 games.
Yeah.
Okay, so it is 6 there.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay, that's what I was mistaking. I thought it was 5.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you still have to play 6 games.
Tennis. Thanks.
There's no pleasing you. No, it doesn't really matter what I ask you. You're going to find some way to b- about it.
I am impossible.
You are impossible.
Yes, I acknowledge that.
I love you anyway, no, but you're, okay. You're impossible.
I was thinking incorrigible.
I'm definitely impossible.
No, incorrigible is a whole different thing.
Mm.
All right, your last category in the round is music.
Music makes the people
come together. Counting Crows recorded Big Yellow Taxi as a cover. Who did the original?
3-2-1.
I am not going 3-2-1 on it.
Okay. I'm locked in.
When Counting Crows did Big Yellow Taxi, they did it with somebody. And I know who they did it with, but I have no idea who did an original. We paved paradise and put up a parking lot. I feel like they did it with Vanessa Carlton. I don't think she had that song by herself before that. But I don't know any other answer, so I guess I'll say Vanessa Carlton.
All right, Chris?
I believe it was in the like 67, 68, and it was Joni Mitchell.
So the Counting Crows did do it with Vanessa Carlton, but the original was done by Joni Mitchell.
Yes. I never heard this original song. I didn't even know there was one. Boy, this game's going back and forth.
All right. So after
like a
five
tennis
rounds,
match.
After five rounds, I actually took the lead by getting 2 out of 3 right, and Jonathan unfortunately didn't get any right that round, 70-65.
Let's see what happens in round 6. Categories history.
Hathaway.
Within 1 year, either way, what year did World War I begin?
For who? Everybody? Or the U.S.?
Oh, that's a good question.
When did the beginning of World War I begin? So when was the first part done?
Franz Ferdinand.
Yes.
Okay, I'm locked in.
1914.
All right, Chris?
Wow. 1914. Nice. We didn't even need the 1 year. What up, peoples?
I mean, it's a big war.
Yeah. When I was in school, I would always think it was 1913. I would never think it was 1914. So it's only something I've recently managed to get stuck in my head.
Jonathan, correct me. It was 14 to 18, right?
Yep, 14 to 18.
That's what I had in my head.
Yep.
Okay.
All right. Next category is science.
Science!
Hard.
Science!
Hard.
Hence.
You guys done?
Blinded me.
Tour.
Literally
science tour.
Gymnophobia is the fear of what?
I feel like we've had this.
Working out.
No, this we've even made that joke before.
Oh.
Not that I remember it, but I feel like we've had it.
I don't remember the answer for sure.
No, I don't either, so I guess it's cool.
Do you want me to spell gymnophobia?
Yes, please.
G-Y-M-N-O-phobia?
Yep.
Can you spell it backwards for me?
A-I-B-O-H-P-O-N-M-Y-G.
All right, I'm locking in so you can at least talk.
This is driving me nuts because I do believe that we've had this before. It's in one of the episodes that actually has show notes, as a matter of fact. So it can be validated. So I know that it's not anything to do with working out because I remember that. What it does have something to do with, I don't know. I've tried to break down the prefix, but the prefix is not helping me.
Jim.
Yeah, I know.
It's the fear of guys named Jim.
There are some who call me Jim.
Tim?
I know, it's Tim, but I was...
Fear of the holograms.
Oh, nice. Well played.
Jim?
I'm going to say it's the fear of being alone.
That's a really...
No, it's not.
Okay, fair enough. I was trying for you, man. I said the fear of bright lights.
Bright lights!
Gems, sparklies.
Okay.
Yeah. Like I said, bad answer, but what can you do?
So, gymnasiums used to be a place where people were naked. It's the fear of nudity.
Wow. All right.
So, you guys ready for the last question in the round?
Yes.
To be frank, I'm not Frank. But... I haven't been ready for any of these questions.
Man, let's limp into the final question.
It's in television.
Finally, a television question from Carmella.
In what city does the BBC show Torchwood take place
of
in?
Of course.
Never even heard of it.
It's a spinoff of Doctor Who.
It is.
Is it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you rearrange the letters of Torchwood, it spells out Doctor Who.
Does it really?
Yeah.
Great. I'm locked in.
Yeah, I mean, this...
You guys look mad at me.
We're not mad, more just disappointed because we
We're disappointed in you?
No,
it's even worse. Now you sound like my dad.
I did not say disappointed in you, but disappointed because we did leave a few points on the board, and that was on us. Because the last one...
I barely left any points on the board.
You knew that answer just a few minutes
no,
ago.
No, I didn't. I couldn't remember it.
Yeah, but that was because you couldn't remember it, but you knew the answer.
Nah.
See, he won't take any responsibilities for his own actions. Terrible.
It's terrible.
Terrible.
Yeah.
All right. So, I mean, London is like the most like...
Obvious?
Yeah, it really is. And that's the reason why I don't want to do London.
I get that.
I'm figuring you probably, you don't have to say it, obviously not yet, but I'm probably pretty sure you wrote London, and that's probably the smart answer. And because I'm saying it's going to be something else, it'll probably end up being London. You'll be right, so you can be happy with me on that. You know what? No, I'm just going to do chalk. I'm going to say it's London.
All right.
I said Liverpool.
Oh, nice. It might be Liverpool.
So the show Torchwood takes place around a place called Torchwood 3. Torchwood 2 is in London. Torchwood 3 is in Cardiff, Wales. So the answer is Cardiff.
Yeah. If you gave me like 18 more answers, I didn't even know there was such a thing called Cardiff, Wales.
I've never heard of Cardiff.
It's a really big town in Wales.
Okay.
You have Welsh listeners.
I know. And they may not know where Cardiff is either.
And we're sorry for our naiveness. We will leave it at that. So,
naivete.
Limping into the final question.
Do I have 65 points for this game?
No, you have 75 points
now.
Oh my God. You got the first question right in the sixth round.
So just so you guys know, I am embarrassed by my performance.
You've gotten a grand total of 20 points in the second half.
Lord, I apologize. God bless the Pygmies down in New Guinea.
Amen.
So the point value, Chris is in the lead with 80 to Jonathan's 75. So it's darn close.
It happens. We all have a game like this.
Oh, yes. Actually, these are my normal games. This is your one game.
This is my game last time. I'm just like, yeah, I don't know any.
This is payback for last week's
episode. This is Carmella's revenge.
How about that?
It is. Carmella's revenge.
I predicted the future.
She's like, how do you feel now, boys? Sucker!
Apparently, I sound like a witch.
May we burn her? I'm not a witch. I'm your wife.
All right. Okay. Your final...
I just mixed up two movies, by the way.
You did. You mixed up Princess Bride with something else.
Monty Python.
Yeah.
Well, it's always going to be Monty Python. You just start with the Monty Python part. All right. So what's the category, Carmella?
Jonathan's going to kill me.
Soccer.
Soccer?
Movies.
Well, I'm not going to kill you for that.
Wow. Actually, that makes it really tough for me. Because if it's a category I don't know, I know exactly how much I'm not betting.
I got my number written down. Yeah. This was easy. Easy peasy.
Lemon squeezy?
Lemon squeezy. Faux cheesy, deezy.
All right, my points are locked in.
All right. Put these movies in order by their runtime, longest to shortest.
Oh, that's cool.
Wow, that's a question that's never been asked. That's not bad.
So your movies are The Green Mile, It's a Mad, 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 Mad World.
How many mads was that again?
Three.
Four mads.
Oh, is it four?
It's four mads. One of my favorite movies ever.
I tried to watch that a couple years ago. It wasn't nearly as funny.
I was
going
to say, I was waiting for you to say
did
something.
Did not hold up.
It still holds up for me. Once Upon a Time in America and Lord of the Rings, Return of the King theatrical release.
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much. Wow.
Not the six-hour DVD one.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Okay, I'm locked in, Jonathan.
I have no clue.
Oh, trust me, it's straight up guessing.
I feel like Return of the King was super long, like 3 hours and a half. I have no idea about Once Upon a Time in America, no idea about A Mad, 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 Mad World, and A Green Mile, it was a lot of books, so maybe it was longish.
Green Mile was a lot of books? I thought it was just the one book.
They were broken up into pieces.
Oh,
it was serialized. All right, I'm just guessing. I'm going to say Once Upon a Time in America, Mad, 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 Mad World, Green Mile, Return of the King.
We were super close, Jonathan, on our answers. I said Once Upon a Time in America, which I think is like clocks in at like 4 hours and 20 minutes. I mean, it's...
Oh, I would have said that's last then.
Yeah. Well, I thought she said...
Longest to shortest.
Yeah.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Oh, I gave them in the opposite order than I thought.
Well, then reread them for me.
Well, no.
No, I'll stick with it. It's locked in.
He's sticking with his answer, yeah.
All right.
Okay, so I think...
I can't change it now that Chris has told me a time.
Yeah, I think Once a Time America's long, so it's like 420. Second, I said it's a mad, 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 mad world, and the only reason for that is I really don't know how long it is. Third, I put... This is where we switch off. I put Lord of the Rings. I think it's like 340 or something like that. I'm glad she said theatrical, because the extended cut was like well over 4 hours. And then finally, Green Mile, I think, was like a little over 3 hours. Like 3:11 for some reasons in my head.
So yeah, Green Mile was serialized, but the books were pretty thin. So first at 229 minutes, Once Upon a Time in America. At 208 minutes, Return of the King.
Oh, wow.
192 minutes, It's a Mad, 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 Mad World. And at 188 minutes, The Green Mile.
Okay.
So we both got it wrong.
Both got it wrong. Comes
down
those
to were so close together. Goodness gravy.
Comes down to points. How many points did you bet, my friend?
Six.
I bet five. Because I had a feeling that you were going to be betting zero, and I wanted to see if we could tie for the first time.
Why would I bet zero? I was behind.
In case Jonathan got it wrong and you're not comfortable enough with the question?
Well, no, I would never do that. I will. If I'm behind and I have a chance to catch up, you will never see me bet zero.
That's how Chris won that game with me and Mark.
Yeah, but in all fairness, though, the reason why was I was counting on you two.
There's three people.
Yeah, I was because he may bet zero one day if there's like two competing that are really doing well. So with a final score, if you call it a score, of 75-69... Chris is victorious. Victorious! Victorious! See, it doesn't matter how bad the score is. It just matters that you win, and I will take the win every single time.
Winner, winner, chicken dinner.
Victorious!
Good job, Chris. Way to go.
Thank you, man.
You've been back on the horse lately.
I've been playing pretty
well. You had a long stretch of struggle, but last few games you've played, you've been very competitive.
Hey, you know, and that's all that matters. It's just showing up to the game.
That's not true.
Okay, fair enough.
Performing well, that matters. So we have a Warhead of the Week this week.
Who is that, Jonathan?
You know, we read a review from this person not too long ago.
Okay.
The reviews, the person on the review's name was Eshek. Eshek09, I think. It turns out that Eshek is Erica Shekel.
Oh, okay.
Erica is a Warhead that signed up not too long ago. She was looking for a new trivia podcast on the different boards, and she found us, and she said she loves us.
That's Yay. Fantastic.
Thank you, Erica. We appreciate you listening. You are our Warhead of the Week.
Actually, Erica sent me a Warm It Up, Chris, question that I'm hoping to use for a question in a future episode.
Ooh, very nice. Yes. I like that. And speaking of reviews, we do have some reviews to go through. The next one up is by Grumpopotamus.
Okay, I'm all in just from the name alone. That's fantastic.
Grumpopotamus titled their review, Nailed It! Enjoyable podcast. I listen to it every Monday on the way to work. These guys put a lot of time and effort into each episode, and it shows. Highly recommended for fans of trivia and fans of dad jokes. And spontaneous karaoke outbursts.
Yes. Wow, he nailed our show.
He really knows us.
Yeah.
That's or well she. Done.
Or she.
Grumpopotamus could definitely
that's
be a she.
That's a very good point. If we offended you by saying you're male when you're female, we apologize. And vice versa.
The next review is from Om Nom Nom. All right, Om Nom Nom says, 5 stars, making Mondays manageable. I love to learn through trivia, and this troupe, we're a troupe now.
Love it.
Takes it to the next level. The personalities and banter can't be beat, and the listener tournament involvement makes it even more enjoyable. Go Carmella.
Woo!
Wow.
I said go Carmella.
This is a first team Carmella person.
Thank you.
Fantastic. The first lady of Trivial Warfare.
I'm almost certain that it's not the first team Carmella person, by the way.
Well, the first to make their presence known.
Yes.
True or false, Carmella?
Probably. I have a fan. Yay. I'm so happy.
Awesome. Well, you have two fans in this room. We just like to pick on you.
You and
lot.
Rambo?
Nice. Jonathan's pointing at the actual fan.
You have two fans. That's one fan.
There's only one fan in this room, Chris.
That's not her, and she's not. That's not her fan. She's not taking it home.
There's an oven fan.
You're such a.
Beep.
Okay, so did I say that aloud? Their review says, I can't believe more folks haven't given you a review.
Amen.
My wife has been subscribing to the show for a while, and I've enjoyed listening in. At first, I thought Chris was Chris Collinsworth, which to me would have justified the lack of interest or reviews.
Aww.
But this Chris is so much better.
Yay!
Cheers, Matt from Brunswick, Maine.
Thanks, Matt. I appreciate it.
So you're better than Chris Collinsworth. That's right. That's not exactly saying a lot.
But in all fairness, that Chris Collinsworth was a 1982 graduate of the Florida Gators. That kind of makes me a little sad and then yet happy all at the same time. So I don't know what to do. I'm a mixed mash of emotions.
Dance, monkey boy, dance. That's a dance. No, stop, stop, stop. That's enough dancing. God. Okay. So,
ouch.
I think it's time for us to get out of here, but before we do, we should talk a little Patreon.
Okay, actually, real quick, though, I think we should throw out a challenge here.
Oh.
All right? If we can get up to 100 reviews, we will record me dancing and put it on the Facebook group post.
You heard it here first. When we get to 100 reviews, we are going to have a video of Chris posted to the Facebook group for everyone to see, dancing his little heart out. So now back to Patreon. We have this month some new Patreon subscribers.
Fantastic.
I want to go ahead and announce their names.
The ranks.
But their ranks are, and you can always check out the entire army of people who are donating at our website, trivialwarfare.com. Go to the show stuff link across the top. And it's the one that says Trivial Warfare Army underneath it. This week we have Brianna Garten. Brianna is a new captain. Brianna, thank you so much for signing up to support us. I appreciate you greatly. We have Becky, a new sergeant in the Trivial Warfare Army. Thank you, Becky. And lastly, we have Frank Travato. Frank is a new captain. Just signed up a couple of days before this went out. So thank you so much, Frank. I really appreciate you. And if you want to donate, you can go to patreon.com/TWA. And if you just donate what you think the show is worth to you, what value you've gotten out of it, that's all I could ever ask for.
Yeah, thanks, guys. We really do appreciate it.
All right. I think that is the show for today, Chris, so why don't you get us out of here?
All right. Well, Carmelo, well done. I know I technically won the episode, but I'm saying that Carmelo won today's episode of Trivia.
Carmelo might be the first host that really won.
Yeah, agreed.
Because I feel defeated.
I do what I can, I guess.
I don't feel defeated at all, but
that's
definitely
because you won.
But I don't feel like I won either. So, but seriously, good.
Isn't that defeated then?
No. No, I just feel neutral. I feel neutered.
Feels like he tied.
That sounds like a loss to me.
Yeah, no kidding. A loss of something for sure. But Carmella, thank you very much.
Thanks for having me back, guys.
And Waco, thanks for helping her out with the questions. We appreciate it.
Absolutely.
And again, if you would like to contact Jonathan, that's trivialwarfare@gmail.com. Again, that's trivialwarfare@gmail.com.
Trivial with an L.
Trivialwarfare@gmail.com. And with me, it's warmituppchris, all one word, @yahoo.com.
Again, send Chris some questions.
Please, because we will read it on air.
If it's good.
I don't have an email, so.
Okay. You can send it to carmella.smith@thisisn'treal.com.
Anyway, thanks so much for listening, everybody. That's Jonathan. That's Carmelo. This is Chris. This is Trivial Warfare. I'm trying to get us out of here. This is not just trivia. It's war. Take care, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Trivial Warfare. To learn more about the show and become a warhead yourself, visit TrivialWarfare.com. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes or in any other good podcast app. And find us on Facebook or Twitter by searching Trivial Warfare.
Creepy.
Don't make it creepy.
Your face is creepy.
Your mom's creepy.
Well, sometimes, I guess. It's creepy how she knows things. It's like, how did you know that?
Mm-mm. Binoculars.
Some pretty powerful binoculars.
All right, I'm locking in so you can at least talk, because this is boring.
I was going to say your face is boring.
Your mom is boring.
No, that she's not.